Good morning. That's true, brothers. He came for you. That's true, sisters. He came for you. Y'all stand with me this morning as we read from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Amen to that. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we've left our homes this morning to come to this house, to this place of meeting, to meet with God. Lord, we come this morning to worship you in spirit. We come, Lord, to worship you this morning in truth. We recognize, Lord Jesus, that you are risen Savior and Messiah. And Jesus, we ask that you would walk in our midst. May your spirit be in our midst this morning, that you might teach us the things from the Scriptures, God. Lord, encourage us this morning and strengthen us this morning. Help us to understand this morning. This we pray, God, for your glory and for your kingdom and for nothing else. These things we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And y'all may be seated. And as you do, welcome to the second Sunday of December and the third Sunday of Advent. So I don't know if you've heard the rumor, but Christmas is fast approaching. Now, I'm just curious, is there anybody in here who has yet to buy a Christmas present? I'd just like to see. You're there. There you are. Yes. Are you pretty much getting ready? Do most of you have your lights up on your house now? And maybe you've got your tree and things are starting to roll that direction. The season is fast approaching, my friends. For most of us, as we prepare for the season, we usually put one of these up in our home. It's a nativity. And usually when you put one of these up, you'll notice there's a certain cast of characters that's in each nativity. You'll notice there's usually barnyard animals. There's usually shepherds. There's usually certainly the most famous couple in the world, Mary and Joseph. Of course, the baby Jesus is there. And ours has an angel, and I noticed that maybe this one up here does, maybe yours does too. But if you were here last Sunday, there's a certain cast of characters that usually exist in nativity, but biblically speaking, what cast of character is missing from this nativity scene? A red dragon, right? According to the book of Revelation, in the 12th chapter, we find a different viewpoint or a different way of looking at the nativity, and it looks through more of a spiritual lens. And this is what it says. Revelation chapter 12, 1 through 5. "A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon, with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. But she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The book of Revelation, written 90 years after the birth of Jesus per se, looks back to this moment of the nativity and describes the nativity from another perspective in another realm. A dragon, Satan, the kingdom of darkness, hovering over the birth of Jesus, wanting to destroy, to devour this child the moment he's born. And why? Why? Because the birth of Jesus was an invasion of God into our dark, broken, and sinful world. The birth of Jesus was an invasion of God into our world, our broken world, our world of pain and suffering and sorrow and sadness. God comes. So as Jesus is coming, what are the spiritual forces of darkness up to? According to Revelation 12, they were mobilized to stop him, to destroy him, and with him God's plan for the healing and the redemption of humanity, to stop the healing and the redemption that Jesus has brought into our lives and the work that he's done for us on the cross, which symbolizes all that we just took here. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you. Forgiveness of Jesus, forgiveness of God comes through Christ. And through him, our peace with God and healing and forgiveness in our lives. So Satan wants to stop the invasion on the beaches. That was Satan's plan. But you can't stop God. Right in the moment of Jesus hitting the beach, you can't stop the plans of God, the purposes of God. Do I hear an amen to that? It's so true. In the 12th chapter of Revelation, in verses 1 through 5, there are three characters. There's the baby Jesus. There's a red dragon. And what's the third character? The mother. The mother. And isn't the mother of the Lord Jesus described in an interesting way in the 12th chapter of Revelation? It says that she's clothed with the sun, S-U-N, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. The symbolic significance of clothes with the sun represents a radiance or a shining, her brilliance and glorification in the work of her son, Jesus, upon her life. The moon represents her permanence in life. It says lots in the Psalms, Psalm 72, Psalm 89, that the moon is just there. It will always be. And Mary's place will always be, her permanence. The crown of 12 stars represents her elect identity. As you read the 12th chapter of Revelation, there seems to be a blending of the woman, the mother of Jesus, with the woman representing the believing community of Christ, or what we would call the church. And they're blended together. They're being seen together as you read that chapter. It's an awesome chapter describing unique symbolism of the conflict that exists between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And as it enters a new level with the birth of the Messiah. As I was reading this and studying this, I kind of look at it like almost like Normandy and the D-Day invasion. You know, in World War II, the United States was at war with Hitler, but when the beaches of Normandy was invaded, it entered a whole new level. God has always been at war ever since the rebellion of Satan from heaven. But when Jesus came to earth and invaded this realm, there was a whole new level of conflict that popped up. And that's 12th chapter of Revelation. And in the midst of all this, there's a brave, lowly Jewish girl, Mary from Nazareth, in the midst of this whole thing. And when I look at the first Christmas and the nativity, I'm totally blown away by the faith and the character of this young lady. She's an awesome example of a person walking by faith over her fears, walking by faith over her fears. And let's face it, friends, she had a lot to be afraid of if she said yes to this plan that God had for her life. So this morning, I thought it'd be kind of cool. Let's just journey and head back to the first Christmas and kind of enter into the world of Mary as we begin to ponder the Nativity and Mary, one of those main characters in the Nativity. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel is busy being the delivery guy for God to unsuspecting mothers of the news that babies are on the way. And these mothers are at the different extremes of spectrums of child-rearing years. Am I right? You've got Elizabeth, never had a kid her whole life, and she's beyond child-rearing years. And she gets pregnant. And on the extreme, you've got Mary, maybe 14, 15 years old, 13, virgin, and they're both pregnant. Would you call that the extremes? In the midst of all this, there's a guy named Gabriel that is the messenger for God to these two young ladies. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went and said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Translation. Of all the nations in Israel, of all the women in Israel, at this time, God has chosen you. She is highly favored because she is a special recipient of God's grace and sovereign choice. God picked you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God." Friends, if you meet an angel, you'll be trembling too and ready to jump out of your skin. But I love how Gabriel immediately calms her down. "Don't be afraid. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary says, "How will this be?" she asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." Friends, a totally different response to Gabriel's news than the last person he visited. Mary doesn't question the message or the character of the messenger, but she only asks for understanding on how God will accomplish this miracle. Her faith, friends, is awesome. There's Mary. Gabriel visited somebody right before her with the same news of a child coming. And this guy was Zechariah, the high priest. Zechariah is in the temple in Jerusalem. He's a religious professional. And he's been chosen by lot to go in and offer incense before God in the holy place. And as he's there, it's just him. Gabriel's inside the temple in Jerusalem. Zechariah is stunned. Gabriel says, "God has heard your prayers of you and your wife. And God has given you a child. And you will call him John." This man's name, this person that it's going to be your son, is going to be great. He's going to prepare the way of the Lord. How did Zechariah handle all this? This is sad. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years. How do I know your information is trustworthy, Gabriel? How do I know," another way of translating it, given a translation, "how do I know you're not lying to me?" The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Mute. Can you hear Gabriel going, are you calling me a liar? Priest? Priest? You calling me a liar? Do you want a sign from God that I'm telling the truth? How about you not talking for 9 months? Bam! Mute! Hey, word of advice to all you in here. Someday when you're in heaven, don't mess with Gabriel. And don't question his character because he doesn't appreciate it. FYI from the scriptures. Put that in, yeah, just take note. So here's a religious priest blowing it and trusting God. And now you have this lowly Jewish girl, 13, 14, 15 years old, not questioning the message at all. Not questioning the messenger either. All she wants is clarification. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. Notice that? I don't doubt it. I'm just saying I need some revelation or some light on this. This is incredible. Totally different response. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, notice this. Now, Gabriel's starting to spill the beans. Guess what? Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive in her is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I like that. How will this be? By miracle. The virgin will become pregnant without having relations. Virgin birth. It's one of a kind. Notice Mary, in the midst of all this, I don't know if she took a deep breath or she pondered it, and she says, I am the Lord's servant. May your words to me be fulfilled. I'm in, she says. What do you think of Mary so far? Not bad, right? If you want to take notes on Mary, and by the way, they're in your, you can take notes right now. Here's some thoughts that I, just as I've been enjoying studying Mary and looking at her, there's a few things that pop out to her. Number one, her faith is amazing. Better than a religious priest of Zechariah. She has incredible faith, this young lady. Incredible faith. Number two, she's a brave little girl. Wouldn't y'all agree? She has incredible courage for God. Think of the consequences of her saying yes to this from a human standpoint. Friends, she's engaged. She becomes pregnant. But she's not yet married. Is there a problem? What will her parents say and do if she says yes to this? What will her husband say and do if she says yes to this? What will her village say and do if she says yes to this? Can you see her problem? Problems on the horizon for Mary beyond belief. And yet she doesn't flinch. She's an amazing young lady of incredible faith and courage. Now, As I'm reading this, you know, there's a lot of times we come to church on Sunday and we'll walk out on Sunday and go, amen. But you know, Monday comes. Monday comes. And I kept wondering, I wonder what Mary was doing on Monday, the day after this happened. I wonder what she was thinking. Was I dreaming this up? Did this really happen? What would you do if you were her on Monday? She remembers what the angel says, that Elizabeth's pregnant. So what does Mary decide to do on Monday? After she's probably going, did I eat that Twinkie bad? I mean, what? She goes, I got to go check out Elizabeth, right? So somehow she convinced her parents that I need to go to Judea. It's about a 60-mile walk. She's alone. How did she pull that off? Good question. She probably goes in a caravan. She goes, I got to go see my cousin Elizabeth, right? So she heads there. And all the time she's going from Nazareth to Judea, what's she thinking? It's Monday. Did that really happen? Wow, what's going on, right? Notice this. Luke 1, 39 through 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried. It says she hurried. No kidding. Is this a dream or is this real? So she's, I'm hurriedly got a mission, right? To a town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. So she makes the ride there. She greets Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you will bear. How did you know? Right? But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. I'd love to see the look on Mary's face when she came in and Elizabeth started speaking to her, wouldn't you? Wonder what was on her face. Was it shock? Surprise? Relief? Oof, I'm not crazy. Incredible joy? She probably was going, oh my goodness, this is real. Look at Elizabeth. By the way, have you ever noticed a lady that's 6 months pregnant? It's hard to hide. Mary comes walking in and there's Elizabeth looking like that. I bet she just went, yee-hoo, right? And all of a sudden Elizabeth starts saying, blessed is the baby in your womb. Who told you that? I think Mary going to see Elizabeth was the most encouraging thing for her. Just totally blessed. And began pondering, my goodness, this is happening, right? There's proof. What an encouragement. And look what she says. As soon as Mary enters and it's like everything's popping on, she just starts praising God. Watch what comes out of this young lady's mouth. She says, Mary, and it's Luke 1:46, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Is that true? Look what you and I are doing here this morning. Look what 90 years later, what the book of Revelation in the 12th chapter describes her. She is blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name, Mary says. His mercies extend to those who fear him. And from generation to generation, he's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home. Did y'all know that Mary went to Awana as a kid? She did. Did you know that there are 12 different Old Testament citations in these 10 verses? Mary knew the scriptures. Mary went to Awana as a kid. She knew her Bible very well. You want to be impressed with her this morning? You should be. She's a woman of incredible faith, a young woman of incredible faith. She is a young woman of incredible courage for God. And she is a young woman who has an incredible understanding of the Word of God, which I'm sure is the root of her faith and her courage. Faith comes by hearing, right? Hearing by the Word of the Lord. It's cool. You know, it says that as Mary enters in and sees Elizabeth, hey, she sticks around for 3 months. Now, Elizabeth's 6 months pregnant, and what happens 3 months later? Babies. They're 9 months. Do y'all know that, right? Mary says, I'm hanging here. And Mary watches Elizabeth give birth to this incredible baby. And it's funny, as I've been meditating on this, I kept wondering, what did Mary and Elizabeth talk about for those 3 months? What do you think was their topics of discussion? What do you think? Babies? I've never had a baby. You've never had a baby. What's it going to be like having a baby? I wonder what God's plan is for our babies, right? I wonder if the discussion ever came up as Mary was there a while. Did she ever say, what happened to your husband? I notice he's like, he doesn't talk. So, is this okay to ask the question? Elephant in the room. I notice your husband's not talking. He's mute. So, Mary, I'm sure somewhere along the line, says, so what happened to him? And she was told. So, did Zechariah write it out on a piece of paper? I ran into Gabriel. And I questioned his message, his character. I called him a liar. And I'm toast. Now, what could have Mary's response been to that? Bummer. Not me. What were you thinking? Dude, what were you thinking, you know? I mean, I'm talking, and you're a professional religious priest. I'm a little maiden. Bro, what were you thinking? We have no idea how she responded to that, but I bet she probably went, oof, bad move, right? Oof. So she stays there 3 months. And actually, it's pretty cool, but because as you read the text, as soon as John was born, they say, what's his name? And they're like, all of a sudden, Dad finally speaks after 9 months. His name will be John. Hey, everybody, let's sing, right? And Mary's like, dude, that's crazy. So it says after 3 months, after the baby, Mary heads back. Now, Mary's 3 months pregnant. Is she showing? If you're 3 months pregnant, are you showing, ladies? Yeah. She's heading home. She's heading home to Nazareth. And what is she sailing into? A catastrophe of scandal. I bet she's almost going, Elizabeth, could you write me a note telling everybody, you know, could you, Zechariah, could you please, you know, tell them that Gabriel spoke to you and I'm virgin pregnant, you know, because she's sailing back into Nazareth and she has problems beyond belief that she's going into. Because now I'm showing, what's my parents going to say? What's my husband going to say and do? Dude, is he going to leave me? Right? What's my town going to say as I tell him, guess what? I'm pregnant, but I'm a virgin. I'm sure she went back going, all I know is I'm going to trust in God on this. As she went back home. She's walking by faith, friends, and not by sight. She knows that God's at work in this. And she knows that God's going to take care of it somehow, and she cruises home. And next Sunday we'll talk about Joseph, because he's another key character in the Nativity, right? But I want you to just be impressed with this young lady. Be impressed with her faith. Be impressed with her courage in God. Can you remember the last time that your faith in God was tested? Do you remember the last time that your courage in Christ was tested? You know, recently I was talking with an officer in our department who got in trouble because he prayed on a call. He went into a house, there was a death, and he noticed the Christian symbols in the place, and he informed them, I'm your brother as well. Totally defused it. Was there with another officer. And he was there just doing a good job. Good policeman. Good work. Did you know that all policemen aren't bad? I just want to let you know they're not all bad. Turn off the news. And in the end, they asked him, would you pray for us? What would you do? Absolutely. He prayed God's blessing over them. Now that's what I call protecting and serving, don't you? Hey, his partner was uncomfortable with his prayer and reported him to his supervisor. He got written up, busted. That's what the chaplains are for. Call a chaplain. So I go hang out with this guy. He says, to me, I'm Brother Frank. Brother Frank, this is what happened. Man, I think it's lame. And we talked about it, and he says, you know what? I'm just going to walk by faith and not by sight. That was his attitude to the whole thing. I was proud of him, aren't you? To heck with him, write me up. He says, I'd do the same thing again. I just felt God saying, pray for these people. And I'm calling you. You'll be there in 2 hours. I'm there. So he'll get written up again. Is that courage? God bless him, right? When was the last time that you had this thing called courage and faith and you were tested in them? I was thinking about this writing. You know, years ago when I was at Saddleback College, I took a class in anthropology with my professor, Dr. Holston. And this whole semester, you know, it's about Peltdown Man and Neanderthal Man and, you know, all this and that. And I'm a young Christian in the Lord Jesus and I'm listening to all this. And I ended up writing a paper called Naked Ape and Nothing More. I still remember writing it. This was my final in my paper. Naked ape and nothing more? Question mark? And man, in my paper, I just talked about humanity and God's design and creation. Man, I vented my whole semester in this paper, and I'm thinking, dude, I'm going to get an F on this thing. I still remember this. You know what the professor said to my paper? Wrote on the top, considering myself more than an ape, but less than an angel, I enjoyed your paper, young man. Yeah, A minus. A minus. How about you? In the days in which Mary was raised, she was a young lady that was just bold for the Lord, man. Faith in God and courage in God. How about you? How about you with your family? You know, Christmas is coming up, and if you're a Christian, you know that you're getting it. Some of your non-Christian relatives are already bagging on you. I know the feeling. I understand. Oh, you're a religious one. You're the religious. I've heard you found religion. No, man, I met Jesus. Right? Courage. Invite him to Christmas Eve service. Oh, Pastor Frank, I've talked to my associate. He'll never come, man. Invite him anyway. Double dog dare him to come. Be bold. Be strong in the Lord. You know, if Mary could encourage you and I this morning, may she encourage you and I to walk in faith and to be courageous. There's a song that I like singing. And the song's called I Give You My Heart. And I was thinking about this song. There's a particular line in it. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I was thinking of Mary's journey back from Judea to Nazareth. What was she thinking and going through her mind? And I don't think she sung this song, but if she had have known of it, she would have. Now, I want you to picture Mary heading back to Nazareth, 3 months pregnant, and listen to this song and tell me if you don't think she could sing a song like this as she's heading back. Check this out.